Okay, so you guys have no questions beyond how to pronounce where rare. Welcome to the sixth episode of the Negative World Podcast. We are recording this on April 2nd. I am the host, Pandarius, and with me today I have...
This is Casper.
And I'm Paleo.
And I'm Were.
Hi guys, thanks for being here today.
No problem.
We are recording like a week in advance of when we usually record. Like usually we have a bi-weekly schedule, but last week there was an important hardware launch that we're going to discuss today, and you guys almost all early adopted it. So we're going to be talking about, of course, the iPad 2. So
that is okay. That's awesome.
All right. So the 3DS, of course, the Nintendo 3DS. So today, the whole podcast is going to be about Nintendo 3DS. We're not going to follow the usual format. Instead, we're just going to be talking about this new thing that just came out so that the people maybe who haven't bought it yet can know exactly what the people who have bought it think about it. That's simple enough, right? People do that.
I think so, yeah.
So, first, I guess my question to you guys... Okay, well, first, we should point out that... WareRare, you bought the 3DS. Casper, you bought the 3DS. Paleo has not bought the 3DS. But,
no, I have not.
No, but he has been playing.
But he bought it in his heart, and that is all that matters.
Yeah. I just couldn't afford it right now. So I'll probably get it like within a month or two.
All right, cool. Yeah, and we still love you. You know that.
Yeah, I know.
All right. So, yeah, first, I want to know, I guess mostly from Casper and WareRare, if you guys usually buy Nintendo hardware this early?
I'm really trying to think about that. No. Actually, I typically don't. With the Wii, that was a little different because, you know, I should probably preface this with saying that I was a bit of a lapsed gamer in the early 2000s. You know, I wasn't really... so much of an early adopter. I mean, eventually, you know, I would get the hardware and catch up on everything with a backlog, but it kind of restarted with the Wii.
So you bought the Wii on launch day or something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like it was just like the Wiimote, I guess, and like seeing Wii Sports and everything and the potential that brought you back to gaming?
Absolutely. It was, and plus with the whole VC thing, you know, because I guess you could have called me one of those old school gamers or whatever. With the virtual console and the potential with the shop channel, at least I thought the potential that was there, and the new motion capabilities, I thought that was a huge draw, something different from what was on the market at the time.
And what about you, Where Are?
I'm usually an early adopter. I queued up for the Wii for a launch for that, and I worked in an electronics store during the DS launch, so I just picked one up when I got into work on launch day for the DS. Yeah, if I've got the money there, then I usually early adopt with Nintendo hardware.
All right, cool. So, like, you guys don't need to wait for a killer app or anything like that?
You know, I guess right around about the time I was about to pick it up, I kind of thought back and was wondering, why am I doing this? But, you know, honestly... I was sold on it the moment I knew that it was going to be glasses-free 3D technology. That was just awesome. So, plus, I, you know, pretty sure whatever Nintendo releases as far as high-profile games on the system, I'm going to end up purchasing anyway. So, I didn't really know what the environment was going to be like as far as, you know, being able to nab one. So, I just decided to go ahead and get it as soon as I could.
Yeah, so Well, with the 3DS, I guess Pilot Wings was my killer app for picking that up. You all know I hate Pilot Wings, but
right.
Yeah, Pilot Wings, I suppose, was my killer app for the Wii. I mean, I wanted Twilight Princess on launch day for the Wii, so I picked it up for that mainly. And I don't think I actually bought a game for the DS. I think I just played Metroid Prime First Hunt.
You didn't buy the 64 remake?
I think I got it a few weeks later, but I think I just picked up the DS just to play around. I don't think I had much money. I think I just had enough of the system at the time.
All right, cool. Now, the reason I'm asking is because, like, this is actually the first time that I buy hardware, like video game hardware, in the first, like, 7 months of its release. Usually I always wait for some sort of price drop, or like in the case of the Wii, I just gave up because clearly the price was not going to drop. And, you know, like even though I bought it in June of the year that followed, like the November that it released, I think that the price didn't drop like 2 years after that. So I probably made the right choice. But yeah, usually I wait for a killer app. For the DS, I bought it approximately, well, after one price drop, and also around the time that Kirby's Canvas Curse came out, or close to that. And yeah, like this time, the 3DS, I bought it basically because I just wanted to experience being an early adopter for once. I guess the fact that maybe I've got a little bit more money to spare this time around helped. But yeah, like I wanted to be part of the excitement of the launch. And, you know, because when I got my Wii, like I actually don't really have anyone added to my, the messaging system, because everyone had been, you know, got tired of that around the time that I bought it. So, you know, like the excitement wasn't really there anymore. And so, yeah, I just wanted to be the guy with the cool latest gadget just for once. You know, the guy who gets all the girls, basically. And usually I always wait for a killer app, but this time nothing really grabbed me except maybe Pilot Wings. But also, for some strange reason, Steel Diver. Mm. Even though it got terrible, like it got massacred in reviews.
Yeah.
But I still wanted to play it. So, well, I guess we'll get into it later.
Well, how do you feel about that decision? Because there's been so much talk about how horrible the launch.
Yeah, seriously, like I feel pretty good about it. I don't know, like it is exciting to have the latest gadget and to be part of the crowd that owns it first, you know. And I have to say, I don't regret it one bit. And while I understand, of course, the people who are not early adopters, because I've never been one myself before now. Yeah, I'm a little bit annoyed at the people who are, you know, at the hyperbole of, like, the people saying, like, this is the worst launch lineup ever.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I don't know. Like, the games aren't that bad.
They really aren't. Pilot Wings is so awesome. Okay.
Pilot Wings is lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if that doesn't grab your attention, then maybe there's not really. Like, I can understand that they're all kind of tired. Well, not tired. That's the wrong word. But they're not new franchises. They're franchises that have been around forever. You know, one of the how many Super Monkey Ball games have there been in the past 10 years? How many Dynasty Warrior games or Samurai Warriors? It's the same thing, you know? Mm-hmm. How many what's the racing game again?
Ridge Racer?
Ridge Racer. Yeah. How many of those have there been? You know, like it's not really none of the games, except maybe Pilot Wings, which has had a longer hiatus than most, are going to get people excited, because basically they never went away, or they were revived really recently, like Street Fighter IV. So, yeah, I can understand that being too excited about the launch lineup. But at the same time, those are good games. And like if you think back about the launch lineup for the DS, what was there? You know,
yeah. I only had one game when I got the DS, because I got it within a week that it came out, or 2 weeks. I don't know. I got on my birthday in December. When did it launch? November?
Yeah, and I'm sure you played like tons of great GBA games on it.
Yeah, I did.
Because, like, yeah, okay, there was, like, a port, in my opinion, not a terribly compelling port, but, yeah, of Super Mario 64. So I guess that kept people busy for a while, and it had, like, cool little mini-games that demonstrated the touchscreen. But other than that, I mean, some people got really into Yoshi's coin-grabbing, cloud-blowing game. Wow, I'm terrible at this. I can't remember.
Touch and go, yeah.
Touch and go, right. Yoshi's coin grabbing touch and go.
that's totally its name. That's awesome.
At this, you know, for the 3DS, the launch lineup is very decent. And, like, the fact is, like, I don't think that Nintendo has ever seen a Ridge Racer game before. So there's a chance that you might, like, that Konami, I think, might grab, like, a new audience here. Because before, they never gave us these games. My theory is that if it's new to you, then you shouldn't really be complaining that it's an old thing, you know?
Yeah, like Street Fighter 4, I've never really played Street Fighter that much. But when I tried it out on my friend's 3DS, I mean, I could get into it because I could do those combos on a touchscreen. And, you know, I feel like I could actually go against somebody.
Yeah, and like Super Street Fighter 4 or the first, like the non-super version, never came to the Wii, never came to the DS. I guess there's a high percentage of people who own another console, but like even though I've got a PlayStation 3, I never really played Street Fighter 4. So, and I'm probably not going to play it on 3DS, to be honest.
that would be failure, so we can't have that.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, my interests lie elsewhere.
Hey, you know, we got the boot camp threat. I mean, if that's a problem, you know, Grant's been doing a great job with that. So
I'm sure. It's just I don't really want to. No, it's not really my thing, you know. I'll wait for other games. I know it's the only launch game that is online, but I'll just wait for something that's more my thing, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
All right, I guess this wraps up the whole being an early adopter thing.
Well, I was actually gonna comment on a couple of the things you said. For one, I think the responses so far have been pretty much like, you know, knee-jerk reactions. It's like, you know, you're on a bunch of online forums and people are going to be analytical about that kind of stuff. I think, you know, a year or two from now, nobody's really going to be concerned about how the launch went, you know, with all the great software that's going to be on the system. Also, I don't know if it's just me, but I mean, did the 3D aspect of the games like have any sort of additional impact as far as your impression of the games, not just visually, but just, you know, overall your impressions of the games when you got them?
I would say so. I thought maybe we could talk about this later when we're going to be discussing games. Yeah, no, but it's no, like the 3D played a part.
The reason why I said that is because I'm thinking like in terms of when I was, you know, going across the titles that I was going to get for launch. You know, and I didn't really know how interested I would be in the titles. I thought about the fact that the 3D had such a great impact as far as in my experience, that it was worth, you know, spending a little bit of cash on a couple of those titles. So I don't know. That's what I was trying to integrate into the topic, but apparently that didn't.
Well, no, it's a fair point. I don't know if I, like, of course I bought the hardware for because of the 3D aspect, like mainly because it's like the new Nintendo handheld. Of course, I'm gonna buy it, but yeah, I was pretty excited about the whole 3D screen thing, and I'm very excited about the new Mario game that they've announced at GDC. Yeah. But right now, like in the like my first choices in the launch lineup were Steel Diver and Ghost Recon, which are both really, like, Steel Diver is a side-scroller, and Ghost Recon is a turn-based strategy game, right. You know, overhead view and everything. Mm-hmm. So the 3D aspect didn't really get me to buy these games. Maybe it played a part in me getting Rayman 3D, but We'll get into that later.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, I wanted your general impressions on the hardware. Yeah, basically, do you have any pet peeves or like nitpicks or maybe even positive impressions about the hardware? Yeah, we don't have to make this a negative podcast, even though it's called the. No, like, what do you find surprisingly good, and what do you find surprisingly lacking, or whatever, or even just right? I don't know.
I think everyone's got to agree the Circle Pad is a work of genius.
It is amazing. Yeah.
It's great.
That is a thing of beauty.
Yeah, no, the Circle Pad definitely is something. Like, when I compare it to the analog nub on the PSP Go, oh my god.
Yeah.
What
a
world difference. It's, it just, it does exactly what its original name does, said it did. It slides around. It's, unlike other digital nubs where they just like resist against your thumb.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm actually hearing, a few people prefer, the feel of the Circle Pad over an actual analog stick. You know, I thought that was a reach, but I mean, hey, you know, it's got more of a, it's like a hybrid of digital and analog, you know, feel. So I can understand why some people would prefer it, you know, ergonomically. I don't know if I would go as far as to say that, but, you know, it is interesting.
Yeah, it's a sentiment I can understand. Yeah, it just feels so much better than you would expect from a handheld, you know, it feels like a good analog stick. And apparently that's quite an achievement because no one has done it before.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like when I play my games, Rayman 3D, like I have no complaints. You can just tilt it, you slide it a little and you don't really have a problem with that. With the PSP Go, like if I try to make really small, subtle movements, it doesn't really work. But with this, it's, very comfortable and very easy to use. What about, the 3D screen? Like, let's talk about that right away. Do you guys have any issues?
Not at all.
No.
There was hardly any adjustment. For me, but I've seen a lot of 3D content over the years, so I can understand someone who is relatively new to the experience would have a lot of trouble with it. So no problems over here.
Yeah, I've been fine with it too. No issues really. Depends on the time of day and how tired I'm feeling, how high I have it up in pilot wings.
Okay, yeah.
You can get a bit nauseous at full blast particularly if I'm tired.
Yeah, that happened with me when I tried out the demo at Best Buy with Pilot Wings because I was very tired the day I tried it, and it kind of hurt my head after playing it for a few minutes. But when I played Street Fighter 4 yesterday, I didn't feel that same headache. I felt fine.
I think I'm getting more used to it. I can have it higher up for longer than I could initially. I think my eyes are getting used to it. But I think it's more, someone explained it. I think if you try and focus on the character, your eyes will spaz out a bit. But if you relax your eyes and just take in the screen as a whole, then you can experience it far better.
Yeah, the thing with the depth slider on that particular game is that, I mean, there's a huge difference between the actual character, the space between the character and the screen, and like the surface of the screen, and then the depth in the background. And when you have it on full blast, it's literally almost the same as when you like put your finger in front of your eyes and then you try to focus beyond that, or try to focus on your finger and just stare at it like that. You know, it requires a lot of concentration, but if you kind of just look beyond that point, like beyond the character and look into the background, it shouldn't be too much of a problem. But still, you know, everyone's eyes are different. For me, the full 3D is not a problem at all. The only things that have caused my eyes to spaz out is when I go into the 3D camera and adjust the actual depth of the pictures that I take. I mean, and a lot of those pictures aren't supposed to be taken like that. I mean, the cameras are set at, you know, the the correct length to have the right depth, but you can adjust them if you want like more depth in the picture, or if you want negative parallax, which is when the, you know, your eyes converge and make the image look like it's popping out. And that has made my, you know, made it kind of blurry and clear and blurry again. It was really weird. So, but I hear the best way to handle that with the pictures is to overlap the two images so that they're right on top of each other, and you and your eyes shouldn't have any problems.
Okay. Personally, I haven't really, like, I really find 3D impressive. Like, even though people say, oh, it's subtle, or oh, it goes into the screen, I really think it adds to the visual punch, or whatever you want to call it, yeah, of the games. Like, yeah, even something as simple looking as Ghost Recon, I don't know, just the fact that it, you can see the depth makes it a really good looking game. And yeah, then even though it shouldn't be, I guess, because the developers admitted that it was originally conceived as a DS game that they then updated for the 3DS when Ubisoft asked them to make it for the launch. But yeah, and I haven't experienced any problems with headaches, so I feel myself pretty lucky. But I have to say that keeping the sweet spot, you know, the right angle to keep the 3D effect really, really good, not see double instead, that has been really hard to maintain.
Mm.
And I don't know if it's because I've got slight astigmatism in one of my eyes, but I've heard that it might cause problems. I already knew beforehand, before I bought the 3DS. Yeah, so I don't know if my...
What's the distance that you hold the system? Like, how far away from your face do you hold the system?
Well, you know, I'm Canadian, so 25 centimeters. That would be about, like, 10 inches. I don't know. But yeah, like, I don't have any real problems watching, you know, like, the built-in menu or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with the Street Pass Plaza or things like that. But yeah, like using the cards for the AR games, I will always lose the sweet spot really easily, or like very often Pilot Wings. But I think that's partially because I tend to try to steer whatever I'm controlling. Yeah. So that might have something to do with it. But yeah, I find the narrowness of the angle that you have to hold it at a little bit disappointing.
It would be nice if it was, if you could, you know, if we could view it from a wider angle. And there are, you know, there is parallax technology out there that allows for multiple viewing points. Who knows? Maybe we'll see that in a revision. You know, you never know. But I have to agree that that is, you know, even understanding how the technology works is still a disappointment, because you have to, you know, make sure. I mean, it's a concerted effort. It's not like something that's just, you know, I mean, yes, you have the system in front of you all the time, but you still, there's still like, you know, the slight angle where your hand, one hand is resting more than the other, or whatever, and it's not perfectly aligned right. The only problem for me is with the Street Fighter game that I cannot maintain that sweet spot for a long time. I just can't do it. It's just the clicking of the button, and the shoulder pads too. They're got some funky position up there, but trying to do the ultras and combos.
Oh yeah, I had trouble with that too.
Just like, this is insane.
Okay, so like Nintendo went again with like really low resolution cameras. Is that disappointment for you guys? Like, it's the same resolution, I think, as the camera on the DSi.
It is for me, because I was looking forward to, you know, taking 3D photos, but when I see the resolution on it and it's so grainy, because, you know, I'm a bit of an amateur photographer, so I was hoping to take 3D photos, but not in that resolution. It looks pretty terrible even with complete light. I took a picture on my DS with my friend's 3DS, and I don't know, it just doesn't look good to me.
Yeah, and I guess the fact that, yeah, they have to keep it low cost, and they've got like three lenses there, you know, one in the front, two in the, well, depends on what you call front, but yeah, one facing you, two facing outwards. The like a couple of months ago, I remember like a Fuji camera, 3D camera coming out, and as far as I'm aware, that was the first 3D camera that came out, and like that cost like $500 when it came out.
Yeah.
So I guess if you do want good quality 3D pictures, you have to pay the price.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't think that Nintendo was really looking for that audience of professional or, you know, even amateur photographers. I think it's probably something that kids will find really, really fun to use.
Oh, don't put it on the kids. I enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, that's true.
No, I'm joking.
Because I've got you on your on my friends list, and sometimes I can see that that's what you're doing. You're taking pictures. I can see how
many. Okay, that's kind of creepy.
Well, you know, it's something I noticed in passing. Actually, we're going to get into creepier territory when we discuss my street passing habits. Look forward to that. But yeah, no, like it's so like I saw last time, that was a while ago, like you took like 20 pictures or something.
Yeah, thanks for publicizing that too. That's totally awesome.
And well, you're not winning. I saw that Anand is has taken 50, so you better get on it.
Oh, wow!
I'm just saying. I don't know. I'm not really a photo taking kind of guy, even the 3D kind. So I'm not terribly like I doubt I'm going to get a whole lot of views out of it. What about like the rest of the controls? Like, how do you find the placement of the select, home, and start buttons, or the power button?
The power button took so long to get used to.
Yeah.
I quit. It doesn't even ask you, are you sure you want to quit? It just quits the game when you push it.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Wait, I thought, because I pressed the power button a few times, and it says, didn't it say something about like the... Do you want the power? Do you want to turn the power save feature
on? It says you can go into It says the game is quit. You can go into power off, sleep mode, or back to the home menu. It just quits. No matter what you're doing, just quit.
Well, yeah, I've got my 3DS in front of me right now, and I just tested it. I had the Steel Diver and the you know in the background, and I. Yeah, press power, and then like the only option was to go back to the home menu, and Steel Diver is no longer running in the background.
Ouch! That's
pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm so used to having start and select below the A, B, X, Y buttons.
Seriously, and like to add like to make it even more difficult, like the select, home, and start buttons don't even they're not popping out. You know, like they're flush with. The system, basically, like you can't really feel your way, like you can't feel it under your thumb, basically.
You know what I found though? I've now been able to press the start and select buttons with the stylus because of the configuration of it now, which I think is pretty awesome because I don't have to switch, you know, I don't have to switch between stylus holding and finger input anymore. So when I want to press the home thing, I just use the stylus to. You know, to press the button instead of using my finger. I think that works a lot better.
I guess that could work.
Obviously, if it was just, you know, like a regular button like the other buttons, that would be kind of weird to do it. But because it's under the little plastic thing, you know, the stylus, like, slides right into it. So, yeah.
Right.
I think it's pretty good.
I guess it's a... It's kind of a good solution, but I still think that the hardware like should have been. Yeah, well, you know, we're used to our buttons, and it's kind of jarring a bit, and it's not really like you have to basically look at it or know where it is. You can't just feel your way around and press start anymore.
Right.
All right, and what about the D-pad? Anyone has been using that? Not really.
Well, on Street Fighter, I use the D-pad, you know, but I like the clicky feel of it. The position is a little, you know, I mean, what can you do? There's not a whole lot to, not a whole lot of places to stick that thing. So, I don't know.
That's true.
You know?
It's actually the primary control for Ghost Recon, and I haven't been I haven't really run into any problems. Like, people have been wondering, oh, well, Okay, so the D-pad doesn't have the best placement anymore, you know, like it's a clearly the secondary control option. And like what's that gonna mean for the virtual handheld thing? But I don't think it's gonna mean anything. I think it works perfectly fine. And the it's not uncomfortable. Like I don't know. I've got small girlish hands and you know, I have no problem still like keeping the finger on the L button, which is probably not going to be used anyway in virtual handheld buttons. Yeah, using the D-pad, it's really not a problem.
Actually, I don't know if we can do this, but I kind of wanted to go back to the camera thing. I wanted to
Yeah,
say
sure.
things, but we are moving along. One thing I find about the camera app is that even though the resolution is undeniably bad, I think for me, it's a different experience when you're actually capturing things. Like when you take a picture of something, it's a totally different experience when you look like a few days, like let a few days pass and then you look back on it. It's just like really, I don't know, it's kind of a surreal thing. It's like, you know, it's like a snapshot of reality stuck inside of your screen. I can't really explain it, but I think
Clearly.
it's I don't know. I don't know. I think it's awesome. There's also the thing I was gonna mention about the performance with the resolution. I don't think you're gonna get, you know, super high resolution cameras performing at game level. You know, that's another issue with the whole memory access thing. You know, that's a problem. So, I don't really know if you know, even when the cameras do improve, obviously, you know, they can improve. I'm sure that the PlayStation Portable, the next one, is gonna probably have higher resolution cameras. But even still, you know, you're not looking at, you know, 10 megapixels for a long time until, you know, you can get better performance out of it. So as gaming applications, I think that the cameras are sufficient. Also, there's the issue of resolution with the screen itself. I mean, regardless of what resolution the pictures are, when you actually look at them on a 3DS screen, it's not going to make a whole heck of a difference if the screen resolution itself isn't super high.
That's a good point. It's just that people have been wanting to share their photos in the on the internet and everything. I guess of course like they're gonna be 2D. But yeah, and they look quite underwhelming in 2D.
They
So
do.
I
They do.
but yeah, it's true that oh wow, that's gonna sound terrible, but watching them on the 3DS adds a whole new dimension. But literally, you know,
it
like
does, yeah.
it Yeah, and they look much nicer. They're just much more pleasing to look at. One final thing, I can't believe we almost finished this hardware segment without talking about the battery life.
No.
Have you guys, yeah, have you guys run into any problems?
It died on me a few times.
It did?
Yeah, a couple of times.
When you're out and about?
Mainly on the train on the way to or from work. Well, mainly from work. It died, and I find when you're playing the game, there's no sort of obviously there's no indicator really until the lights start flashing red, and I don't find it gives you much of a warning.
No.
It's flashing red, and then you've got about 5 minutes, and then it's dead pretty much.
Right. But you like is it 5 minutes like is it dead after you close it, put in sleep mode, or do you mean like you could keep playing for 5 minutes?
Yeah, you can keep playing for about 5 minutes, and then it just kind of goes. Yeah, the screens go black, you know.
So I guess that when it starts flashing, it's just like it's really time for you to close the 3DS and to try to hope that it's gonna last until you can find
I'm really stubborn, though. I just keep playing. I will get to the save point, you know, or I will finish this mission, and yeah, it usually dies before the end.
I have to say, the actual warning, though, you cannot miss it. Like,
No, true.
I mean, you got the LED on the top and on the bottom, both of them flashing red for and I don't know. I don't know why it seems so much more obvious on the 3DS, because I remember when the battery used to run out on DSi, I don't remember it being that obvious to me. Like sometimes I would totally not even know that it was that the battery would get low. But on the 3DS, at every time that it gets low, it's like, you know, you can't miss it, you know, it's in your face. So
I think
right.
the 3DS is probably going to start getting video games with epilepsy warnings.
I've had it run out on me only once, and I mostly play inside, like at home, so it's not really a problem. But I can see how it would be disappointing for some people. Basically, I just bring it to work. I've got no time to play at work, and I don't really, I mostly carry it around for the Street Pass thing, and that doesn't use any battery power at all. and I guess I managed to turn the brightness down to 3 and that's about perfect for me. That does lengthen the time that you can use it.
No tweaking for me. I just full blast, 3 full brightness. There's all of that good stuff. But I, normal portable use for me, I'm not sitting, I guess for a long commute or something, I would be on there for a while. But typically, it's not an issue at all. I mean, because it's kind of more like a short burst thing, which is another reason why I like Pilot Wings. I know we're not supposed to be talking about software here. I just got to say that it's really a good game for, those short burst missions when you want to just kind of pull it out for a couple of minutes and, complete a mission and go on about your day. So for that kind of use, I really don't see a problem with the battery. If you're playing for long stretches while you're out, then that's a problem. But then when you're home, you can just charge it. It's not a huge issue for me at all.
Yeah, I guess it would be more of an issue if you have you travel for a long time, or you go to some place where for some reason there's no electricity. That could happen. You go camping. Don't bring your 3DS.
Yeah.
But you should be enjoying nature anyway.
Well, there's the 3D camera. You can't go in
without
the 3D
point.
Camera. No, and that's another thing too. It's like when I'm on like a little nature walk, I just like it's just immediate thing. Oh, I gotta bring my 3DS. There could be some scene that I walk past that I really got to take a 3D picture of. So I don't know. Maybe I'm becoming a amateur photographer like Palio over there. I don't know. It's pulling me in. It's pulling me in.
Sorry, on the camera front, I know the AR camera has been quite popular with friends of mine and family. Mm. People tend to like having sort of pictures with their Miis and with the Nintendog and things like that. That's proven to be quite popular as well.
Thank you for segueing, making my segue for me. Let's talk about the built-in software.
Yes!
So, how are you guys enjoying it? Is it just something that you show off to your friends to show them the capabilities of the 3DS? Or do you actually actively play these little games?
My smiley face from the Nintendo event still stands when playing Face Raiders.
Yeah, it's quite a game.
Oh, it's brilliant. Oh, the first bonus mission is a tough mother.
I don't think I've unlocked that yet. But they're actually like for people who like to go for high scores, they can be pretty interesting, I can see myself going back to them from time to time.
No, you can't. I'm just kidding.
No? Yeah, okay, you caught me. I'm lying. I think definitely my favorite built-in game of the bunch is Face Raiders, because the AR game, AR card games, I don't know if you guys have that problem, but at home here, it's not really terribly well lit. And I mostly try, I mostly have time to play games at night. And that's so, the cameras have really a hard time performing in low light, and that leads to losing track of the card really easily, unfortunately. But with AR, with Face Raiders, that's not a problem, because basically it's only using the background as the background for the game, and it's going to be putting a lot of
cool
trippy effects, when you miss an enemy, they might crash through reality, Yeah, the AR thing, like, it's not actually going to recognize where your walls are, but, you know, like, it's going to just smash through the very fabric of reality. But yeah, and like, obviously, like, you just like put someone's face in there, and like, it maps it pretty well to these enemies, and you shoot like balls into their mouths, which is weird, but still kind of fun.
I was doing celebrity faces. I was just taking pictures of celebrities off the internet, and yeah, it picked up Alec Guinness, obviously as Obi-Wan Kenobi as a baby girl. was quite interesting.
Yeah, I love that analyzer.
And like, I've been, I don't know, like, I lacked imagination a bit. Like, I was like, who's a celebrity? Okay, Tom Cruise. I've got Cameron Diaz on there. I tried Homer Simpson, and the software could not determine if it was like a human being at all, which I guess makes it pretty smart.
I got Bert, but it wouldn't pick up Ernie.
Oh,
Wow.
The evil monkey from Family Guy I got picked up as well.
awesome. Yeah, like, you don't, I don't know, like, with these little AR games, I guess that the people who will get the most out of it are the people who have lots of friends they can show it to, because I think the most fun you can have with it is like showing it off to people and seeing their reactions. In that way, it's kind of like that DSiWare game that Nintendo gave out for free for a while. Now it's like $200, $200,
Yeah.
200 points, which is $2. Photo Dojo.
Yeah, that was an awesome game though. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, when you first set it up, you know, it is kind of finicky and you got to like do all these different poses, which is annoying, you know. But
And the results are hilarious.
yeah.
And it's all about showing to your friends, you know, like, oh, yeah, look, you know, like, I'm going to put you into this game. And like,
Right.
then you have to make them go through like several awkward poses. But, you know, then they can, you know, yeah, like, it's always a blast, you know, they're always impressed. And even though perhaps actually playing the game, the fun is short-lived, you know, just the fact that they can have their own catchphrase in there is always good at parties and things like that. Face Raiders is pretty much the same, has the same appeal.
What I find interesting though is that for me, Face Raiders seems a lot more not immersive is not it. It just I don't know. It just seems more interesting than the Photo Dojo game. Even though the Photo Dojo game is pretty much like you know you got all these different little animations and stuff in it. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's the face morphing. I'm not sure why, but I don't know. It just seems better executed with Face Raiders than the Dojo game.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. The only problem, I guess, is when your coworkers, like mine, who don't really grasp the idea that they have to align their eyes and their mouth
Yeah,
with
I
the
know.
That leads to nightmarish results, where their mouths open on their chins or something like that. It's
That's
quite
hilarious, though.
disturbing.
That's funny.
I don't know. It's I think I'm gonna have nightmares about it.
Have you guys used the merge tool at all on the
Oh,
camera?
God.
No, I haven't.
It's brilliant.
It's
One of the
amazing.
best ones I took. I done a an AR version of my me just standing out in the office. Printed that off, then face merged myself with the picture of the me. So it had my face on the me standing in the room. It's like a paradox. It's bizarre. It's really a sight to behold.
Wow,
Yeah, that's
wow.
one worth trying. You gotta
You
post that on Negative World.
Yeah. I'm transferring some photos off tomorrow, so yeah, I'll get that one up there.
Speaking of the Miis, you know, I've got you all on my friends list, and I can see your Miis and stuff. And you know, they're all, you know, kind of cute, which tells me that you didn't use the function, the built-in function that creates a Mii for you.
I
Am I
used
right?
that. I used it.
You did?
Yeah,
Oh,
I quite
come
liked it.
on. You
I
tweaked
quite
it.
liked it. Yeah.
You
No,
tweaked it. No.
I didn't. I didn't. I actually, I didn't tweak it at all. No, that is the original picture that came out.
I'm impressed because I figured that you tweaked that one. Mine's was hideous. It was absolutely, as I said, there's no way that this is going up.
Mine was terrible as well. I think it might have been the angle the camera was at, because I had this huge freaking chin that was bigger than the top half of my head.
Yeah, the Mii Maker is a good idea in theory, and if it worked well, or maybe it does work well. Maybe we're just in denial.
I will say, I think the ones I've used, I've done myself and the four other guys in my office, and I think the results were actually pretty good.
Wow.
I've actually got pictures of them, of each person standing next to the Mii as well. So perhaps I'll post those up and you can have a look for yourselves.
You know what I think it is that when you first take the picture, they have the photo of you and then the Mii that's right next to it. And then I actually try to line up each feature by feature, the eyes, at the same height and the nose and everything, and get it as close as possible. But when I compared the two, it just did not look right. So I think that when you see, when you're looking at the Mii, you expect a characterization a caricature type of persona of yourself. You don't expect it to look photorealistic on the Mii's face. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Maybe you expect the eyes, because you kind of, maybe you have an idea of kind of what you look like as a cartoon. I don't know.
Right.
Well, I actually have a caricature of myself. So I know what that looks like.
Me didn't look like that.
I am a cartoon. Yeah, no, the thing is, we all already created Miis for the Wii, and I think probably, you guys probably did like I did, and just copied the Mii from my Wii. Like, it already, it was already a pretty good cartoon, a version of myself. Like, I showed it to people and they were like, ha, wow, that really looks like you. So that's good enough. I think that if I showed them the Mii that the Mii Maker came up with, they probably wouldn't recognize me. That nose, I don't know. There must have been a huge shadow or something. but it was horrific. Maybe I should have saved it. I don't know. Yeah, so, okay, we talked about the Mii Maker, we talked about the AR games, and taking photos. Have you guys tried the 3DS sound?
That is
at all?
Actually on my favorite title list.
Awesome.
Yeah, if any of you have seen me online and see me using that app, you'll see I've probably listened to I don't know how many songs. So I am actually, I don't know, I use it every day. And I really enjoy the visualizers, especially the Game & Watch mini game.
Oh, yeah. I for the first time today, I checked out the 3DS sound thing. And, the visualizers are awesome. There's there's a Game & Watch one, but there's also Excitebike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Excitebike. Seriously. Yeah. That's genius. Like, I'm guessing that the track was actually the visualizer thing. Mm-hmm. Wow, such a great idea.
Yeah. Yep. I mean they were, a lot of them were on the DSi as visualizers, but it's a total difference when they're in actual 3D. One thing that is kind of concerning is that I remember that the DSi had about 15 visualizers, and this one only has about 9. So I'm wondering if some of them they just didn't think translated well to 3D, or if we may be getting spot pass content. I don't know. I mean, this is obviously, just conjecture on my part, but, it's possible, maybe they're going to be sending out visualizers later throughout the year. Who knows? But it does seem odd, though. They kind of, close to about half of what the original sound I've had. So.
Right, right. No, definitely there's a potential there for them to, perhaps with the spot pass thing, just to send them to us. Maybe they want us to buy them.
Oh,
I'm not sure.
Not. I hope they just send them for you.
Or maybe they're going to be unlockable with the game coins. I'm just going to briefly explain the game coins, perhaps for people who don't know. Nintendo really wants you to carry around the 3DS, and they've taken several steps to ensure that. They've made it into a phone that can... No, wait. Okay, so when you've got the 3DS in sleep mode, you can just put it in your pockets, and it actually acts as a pedometer. And for every 100 steps that you take, it gives you one coin that you can use to unlock for now. Like, you can unlock some stuff into like in Street Fighter or Super Monkey Ball, and also like some more fleshed out or more the harder versions of the AR games. And I think that they're going to be adding stuff all the time like this, like not only is there going to be always games that take advantage of this, but there's also going to be perhaps like through updates, they're going to add stuff that you can buy with these coins. Yeah, like have you guys tried the Street Pass thing at all? Oh, yeah, first let me explain the Street Pass. So not only yeah, so disorganized. I'm sorry. Yeah, so not only you carry it around and counts your steps, but also when you activate the Street Pass function, then the idea is that if someone else in your vicinity or in the range of your Wi-Fi, basically, if you come across them and they've got their 3DS on them and they have it in the Street Pass mode, then information is going to be exchanged. And like that's mostly the me. Like, you're gonna receive their me. You're gonna see what they answered in a little questionnaire that asks like cats or dogs, their favorite hobby, their dream. Like, it's all like a range of multiple choice answers. So it's not like people could, like Nintendo plays it safe. They don't want you to say what your actual hobby is, just in case. But yeah, so like the people that you meet every day like this are added to the your me street plaza. I'm saying that wrong. It's yeah, the Street Pass Me Plaza.
There you go.
So I guess even just the fact that you've got this kind of this secret club of Nintendo nerds that have this, like, it's kind of like a secret handshake, like yeah, like we're part of
Okay.
this club, Like, it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool to see who you can get through this thing. And I've been using it extensively. But there's also like two games associated with it. There's one that's basically, it's not really a game. It's just that the people help you assemble these puzzles. If they carry around like a certain pieces of the of puzzles that you don't have, then you can get it from them, and that way you can complete your own puzzles, and at the end you get like a cool like diorama or like a 3D picture that you can look at. But there's also the Find Me quest, which is a very simple but kind of addictive. People have been saying that it's an RPG, but really it's more of a like a social game, basically. I know Nintendo doesn't like that term.
What?
Basically, yeah, I know. Nintendo has been saying that they're evil, but they have their own here. It's
Okay.
yeah, like you've got your me, who's king of this kingdom. I don't know, who gets kidnapped by ghosts, and the people you meet in Street Pass are going to be you're going to be hiring them to fight these ghosts and to go through different levels in the dungeon so that they can rescue you. And so it's actually cool. Like, the more people you street pass, and the farther you can get in that game, and you can unlock different accessories for your me. So yeah, that was the explanation. But have you guys been using Street Pass at all?
I've been attempting and failing at every try. I just it's not hugely populated over here, so I'm gonna have to do some research and figure out where exactly I need to be to get some hits. I've been using play coins. One thing I want to mention about the puzzle swap is that it is totally random if you use game coins. Like, you cannot just acquire, a bunch of game coins and then think you can just unlock all the pieces to the puzzle.
Really?
And yeah, no, it's like roulette. You get a piece, after you buy one, and then it'll like show up to what, you know, what part of the picture it belongs to. And I can't tell you how many times I did a facepalm every time it went to a piece I already got. It was just,
oh wow,
you know, it was, I really did not like that. So it was my fault too, because I kind of cheated a couple of times. So it's like, yeah, this is really not worth it. Now, let me tell you, when I completed the puzzle, you know, it was awesome too. Super Mario Galaxy, same ones from E3. They're basically all the tech demo, the little tech demo things that they have from E3. So like the Super Mario Galaxy 2 one, the Pikmin one, the new Super Mario Brothers, all of those. Anyway, when you complete it, you cannot use game coins to buy a new panel. You have to use Street Pass to get a new puzzle piece. So I'm stuck. I can no longer get any new panels until I encounter someone with another 3DS.
That is really weird.
I was outraged. I probably should have posted this on the boards by now, but yeah, I was just, man, that was kind of a bummer. So Street Pack, the Find Me one, yeah, that's cool. I don't know why I'm hoarding my game coins for some reason now. So I'm not really, you know, I don't want to spend them too much right now.
Right. I guess we should say that we can only get a maximum of 10 per day.
Right.
And you can't have more than 300 stored up. So I guess at some point you'll have to spend them.
Yeah.
The caps are rubbish as well with
The Find Me game.
Yeah, the Find Me.
Yeah, hire some cats if you can't get street passes. And yeah, so they're not working out for you?
They suck. Well, they do not. The blue ghosts, they're rubbish against the blue ghosts. Mm. Terrible.
But you know what's so funny?
I need to go stalk some more Asian guys with bags in the hopes that they've got a 3DS in it.
Hey, Werber, did you like the little animation, though, when you're hiring them and then they trip on the floor right before they go down the dungeon?
That fills you with confidence. But the thing is, like, even with regular people, like, they can have that animation. They can trip and...
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Well, actually, I've been way luckier than I thought I would be with the whole Street Pass thing. Like, I live in Montreal.
You're in Canada. This is insane. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, seriously. And we've got, like, a guy on the boards who's in Alabama. And as he keeps saying, they don't even have shoes there. So, like, and he's amassed quite the Street Pass collection.
Wow.
But, yeah, like, in Montreal, like, I've been, I don't know, like, I had my plan before going in. You know, like, I was like, yes, I will find, I need to think up of the places that nerds hang out. And I need to try to make this happen, to force this to happen as much as I can. And it turns out that didn't really work. Like, I have been trying to go as much as I could to, like, you know, EB Games or things like that. I've got, like, this food court where EA Montreal employees go to. And apparently they're not big fans of the 3DS because I don't think I actually caught anyone there. Just taking the subway, I did, and this is going to sound a little bit crazy, but I did change my usual commute, my usual route to go to work so that I would actually get the most, come across the most people possible. I'm not...
So it begins.
Like, at some point, I change trains when I don't have to. It's not actually taking me that much more time to get to work. So that's how I justify it to myself. But it does it does mean that I have to abandon a cushy seat and I have to go to inside another train where everyone is standing up and, like, it's really, really cramped. But yeah, like, usually I avoid crowds, but this time I really, really want to seek them out. But that's paid off, you know? Like, I actually got... 7 street passes so far. And
wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, and actually, like, 5 guys and 2 girls. So And yeah, two girls. That's pretty good, and that makes
so they do exist. Okay.
Yeah, seriously, that really makes me wonder. You know, like how come Negative World is such a sausage fest? You know, where are the
my street past me plaza is a sausage fest at the moment. I got no females at the moment on there. But yeah, I've been finding sort of excuses to go out on. I work in a city centre, and I tend to find excuses now to just go out for the hour for lunch,
right?
And take a walk around and take the 3DS out and try and get some street passes.
Well, yeah, like it does get you if you get into that kind of thing, I guess. Like it's not going to work for everyone, but for me, it definitely works. Like it gets you to go out a bit and try to hang out where there are people. Like usually, I don't know, I'm kind of asocial. Antisocial, but it does make you want to. It makes you want to come up with excuses to go get a coffee or something, and then.
Do you think that this can be an official hobby?
Street passing.
I've got no idea. I don't know how long this is gonna last. You know, like right now, I'm really into it, and I'm trying to avoid hiring those cats or paying for those puzzle pieces, right, so that that actually lasts me for a long time. But
have you guys seen the sort of social groups, the street pass social groups?
I have not.
Right, I forgot about those.
Yeah, they're having sort of meet me type events.
That's kind of scary.
I think they had one in DC, and there was one in London. What's his name? The street fighter guy, is it Yoshiro Ono? Is that his name?
Okay.
I probably got his name completely wrong, but he turned up to the London one.
Oh.
And started just sort of battling people in Street Fighter and things like that, which is signing people's 3DSs and things. That must have been pretty cool.
Yeah.
No, seriously, it's actually, even when you don't get someone famous, it's actually kind of thrilling, you know, when you get a street pass and that the little LED is flashing green, like you really feel like, wow, yes, cool.
Rub it in, why don't you?
And actually, I promised some creepiness earlier. The thing is, like, I did at the place I go to lunch, usually, like this food court. I did street pass someone, and then much later, like the next day, I went back there and I saw someone standing in line in front of me playing Pilot Wings.
Oh God!
And I was like, all right, cool. Like, just close your DS, stop playing Pilot Wings, you know. And like when it was his turn to order, like he closed it, you know, like put it in sleep mode. And I quickly checked in my pocket, and I was like, I saw the LED flashing, and I was like, yes, cool. So you know, that was that, and I got a good look at him, but no. But I mean, now I know what he looks like. And then later, you know, I was at work and I looked at my new me in my street plaza, and actually I had met him before, you know, like it was the same guy that I had street passed, I guess at the same place. Mm. And so that makes me feel kind of creepy because he doesn't.
You're going to start going back there at the same time every day just to see him.
Well, it's my usual lunch hour, you know, like so. I don't know. Like, what do I do? Like, I'm not going to go talk to the guy. Like,
why not? Why not?
Pastorka.
This is the perfect opportunity to do something like that.
I don't know. Like, I did, like, when you street pass someone more than once, like if I meet, if you meet someone at least twice, then you get the option to
personally greet them.
Yeah. It doesn't actually, you don't get more characters than you do. Like my usual greeting is negativeworld.or, and there's no space for the G. And unfortunately the personalized one is not any longer, but I was like, I don't know. I put the incredible there, but like there's no space really to say anything. But yeah, so like the next time we run into each other, I guess like he's going to get that message. So that's kind of special. I don't know, but I feel weird like knowing that, I don't know, like what his name is. I know like his birthday. It's pretty soon. Should I get him something? No, but anyway, it's just a little strange, you know.
Wow.
I was really embarrassed at the midnight launch for the 3DS. So I waited for 3 hours outside the store, and no one showed up. I was on my own. And then at about 10 to midnight, two about 15-year-olds turned up with their mothers. And that was it. That was the queue. it was quite embarrassing.
Yeah, I guess it was an eventful lunch. I got mine online, and I think a whole lot of people did the same. And apparently, Nintendo had plenty of 3DSs to go around. Like, they had a really good supply, so you didn't really see any shortage problems or anything like that. And that's kind of funny because usually
that's good, right? That's good, isn't it?
Apparently, no, it's not. I remember 4 years ago, 5 years ago, like when the Wii launched, and people were accusing Nintendo of creating this demand by, you know, reducing supply, and oh, that's so evil, and oh, that's so tricky of them. And right now, like, they've got, like, they claim that they broke their own records, you know, like they've sold more 3DSs on day one than any other handheld of theirs. Mm-hmm. And people are saying, oh wow, what a flop, because they can see like the handhelds on the shelves still. There's no shortage, so
People are sort of claiming foul here in the UK because I think they sold 130,000 mm-hmm. units,
mm-hmm.
where they predicted near 200,000. People are saying that it was a flop. And they're saying that the PSP sold 185,000 units. Mm.
That wasn't same time frame.
No, that was over 4 days, whereas Nintendo only had two. So, you know, it's semantics, really. You know, 130,000 units in 2 days is in the UK is you know, pretty good. you can't really fault that. And I think it was something like 380,000 in Europe, I think, opening weekend, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good launch weekend, I would have thought.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty and the thing is, like, the 3DS is more expensive. Like, at this price point, like, you can't really expect people, like, it's a handheld still.
Right.
It's got, like, the 3D screen, and that's really cool, but you can't really expect it to sell as well as like the DS is currently selling or something like that. Or, you know, like these are like the PSP, the DS are mature systems that have been, like the severely lower price points and everything. And also we already talked about the launch lineup, which apparently is not that interesting to most people. So,
mm-hmm.
but once like there's no like, no one doubts that this thing is going to get like really great games, right?
Right.
I mean, as soon as Mario hits, and as soon as like the price is lowered a bit, and like that it becomes like a viable Christmas present for you know, whoever, like for adults or kids, like that thing is going
to
blow up.
This you know, thinking about this though, Nintendo's talked about how they want to increase their you know, their relationships or strengthen their relationships with the third-party developers. And they really worked towards a good start for the launch. You know, I have to wonder if that was a good decision. You know, at first it sounded, it, you know, like really sound, okay, you know, give them some breathing room, let them, you know, sell their software. Nintendo has already went on record to say that they have full 3DS games that are just, you know, just sitting, you know, waiting to be sold, but they're going to give the third party developers some room. Now, when you look at the perception from the consumers, I don't know. I don't know if they should have just went ahead and dominated at launch. You know, because I mean, let's be honest. If there was a killer app from Nintendo at launch, would we really be getting these other games?
Yeah, I don't know.
I know.
I don't know. I feel like I actually bought the software that interested me. I've wanted to play Rayman for a long time, and I've never had an N64, Dreamcast, or a PC that could run it. And at this point, like, it's not on any downloadable services. It's not. I never got it on the DS because I've heard it was terrible. I've heard it was terrible on the 3DS, but a bit too late. but yeah, no. No, that's a good point. That's a perfect segue for starting to talk about some games. But I just want to get back a little bit to the 3DS sound thing. I just want to say that with the Street Pass function, like, you can also have like a Street Pass playlist that it's going to send people what you're currently listening or what you've got in your list. And so maybe I don't have enough space in the little greeting to say negativeworld.org fully, but I have specifically with the intention of trying to kind of like virally spread the podcast. I have added like on my card one episode of the podcast and put it in my StreetPass playlist. And I'm really, really crossing my fingers that at some point someone is going to actually look at this and is actually going to be like, okay, I wonder what that is. And is going to check this out, this podcast.
That's pretty
out.
Cool. That's a good idea. I think I'm gonna do the same thing.
Yeah, I really encourage you to do the same thing. It's not really, you know, viral because obviously unless they actually listen to the thing and do the same, then I'm the only Tifo and Mary around. they're not gonna be spreading Negative World out there. But it's still, you know, if I can get just even like one person to check it out, that would be pretty cool.
I'd like to sort of give a little bit of a shout out to the activity log, which I find really intriguing.
It's so
detailed. It's great.
Yes, it is.
I'm just
yes.
flicking through it now.
It's almost overwhelming.
It is.
Yeah.
What I find interesting too is that when you go through the graphs, like you know, because they have the certain parameters, like, you know, if it's from 0 to 50 hours or 50 to 100 hours. But let's say you go way beyond that those parameters. It'll dynamically change the parameters based on the day. So let's say for steps, you do 1 to 500 steps or, you know, in between that level for one day. But then another day you do like, you know, 0 to 25,000. So the parameters are going to change between each day. It's not... I don't know if I'm really getting this across clear enough, but the actual bars will, like, you know, stretch out or shorten based on the parameters that are set for each day.
Yeah, no, so I know what you're talking about because, like, I've got, like, yesterday I had, like, 5,000 steps, and today I actually went for a long walk. I have, like, 20,000. And the graph is like for yesterday is still like the top line is 2,400, and today it's like 6,000. Like, it's really yeah, and it shows you like exactly at what hour you had you took the most steps and stuff. So
yeah,
it's incredibly detailed, and yeah, the steps is actually the first thing that it shows you when you you know, decide to check out the activity log. But then there's also, you can check out your playtime.
Yes, and I really like that that it shows me that I was on my friends list for countless hours. I don't know how that, it was probably when we started adding everyone from Negative World, but,
probably.
You know, I like the little peak times, though. It reminds me of when you watch the ratings for, like, a TV show or, like, you know, a TV series. You know, it's like, wow, so at 6 o'clock I was having a bunch of friends or looking at friends for whatever reason. And, you know, it's very clear and apparent, though, like, what your activity is looking at the graphs, which I think is intuitive. So.
Yeah, you can see exactly, again, at what hour you've been playing and for how long. And then you can see, like, the more general software library option where...
Right.
You can see all of the games that you've played, how many times you've played them, how many hours you've played them in total.
And then you can rank them like in different categories.
Yeah.
Like based on those different stats.
Yeah, automatically, like, it's going to, you know, like, show a little crown next to the game that you've played the most often, and, you know, with a 1 on it and then a 2 and a 3. But I think that those, like, yeah, you can change the parameters and... choose how they're organized, basically.
Yeah, like if you want them by, you know, which game has the most average playtime. You know, you can have it, you know, organized by that. Or I don't know. There's a whole bunch of like you said, it's overwhelming. I don't even know. I can't even remember all the options on there. But I was really impressed. Also, the music is awesome. So
yeah, and it works for 3DS software and DS software.
Does it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, like I did check out what Radiant Historia looked on this thing, and I'm gonna keep playing it on my DSi XL. But now it shows up in my history here, and like apparently I turned it on 3 times. I played for 13 minutes, and it shows like all the statistics that shows for the 3DS software.
Mm.
So yeah, very very complete. That thing, like that log, has like 16 pages showing 16 games. So. Yeah, I can't calculate this fast how 16 times 16 makes, but I'm wondering what happens if you run out, you know, of space.
There is actually in the manual, it tells you, I think it records up to 256 games, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And what happens after that, I think, is that the oldest, I think it's the oldest data gets deleted or something. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
That makes sense. Like that.
I mean, obviously, there's a limit, you know. It can't keep going on forever. I wonder why, you know, they put it around that mark, though. You know, who knows? Maybe because it's on the system, memory, and.
But this data can't take that much space. I mean, it's just numbers, right? And one little.
Right, but the system memory is also reserved for other things too, though. I mean, you know. I don't know. But still, I mean, yeah.
It's just that I can see, like, the fact that every single application is recorded in there means that not only, like, retail games, but all of the 3DSware, all of the VC games, all of the DSiWare games that you're going to put on there. I can imagine, well, maybe it's just, it speaks to the how much of a consumer whore I am, but I can see myself filling up that whole like 256 spaces.
Oh yeah, me too. Yeah,
yeah, same here.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, you know, if I would really be disappointed if it like started deleting old data, but I don't. I guess if it's old, I wonder. I guess by old data, it's and I'm going to interpret that as like the least active. Maybe like the one that you don't play the most or something like that,
right.
And not necessarily the first one you started. I don't know.
Yeah,
but if it's not something you use a whole lot, then I guess it wouldn't sting as much if they just deleted it. I don't know.
I wish settings wasn't on there and things like that, you know. And,
yeah, like you can manually delete them, but they're gonna pop up again the next time you use
them.
I have to confess that I have some good login time with that just because of the music and internet settings. The internet settings theme is amazing as well. Actually, all of the OS themes are pretty great. They got them all uploaded on YouTube now, if you guys want to check them out.
Mm.
So, or yeah, just look at it on listen to it on your 3DS. But yeah.
All right. One last thing before we move on to games. I just want to say I heard on the podcast, the newscast, Nintendo World Report. They actually said that the 3DS sound thing wouldn't work. Like the music would cut when you closed the lid of the 3DS, and that's completely false. I don't know what exactly. Perhaps they meant like if you don't have headphones plugged in or something, but I think that makes sense.
It's a clamshell design. Why would anybody want to listen to their speakers when it's...
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Like they actually... Maybe they... retracted that statement, but because now like a new episode came out, but yeah, last week's episode, that little fact, like that's actually why I just tested the 3DS sound for the first time today. I wanted to check out if that was true, and it's really
it's a shame. It's a shame. It took that long to listen to the sound app. That's pretty disappointing.
Well, you know, I've got like a an MP3 player already. That's a little bit more convenient. And but yeah, now that I've seen the visual,
but you're bringing your 3DS with you. You're walking around on these Street Pass quests. You might as well listen to music on the device as well.
I guess so. I guess so. Yeah, you've guilted me into changing my habits now.
No, I can understand though why you would have a separate MP3 player for the simple fact that the sound quality may be better. I mean, now don't get me wrong, the 3DS has good sound quality. By the way, everyone should change it from the defaulted surround sound to the stereo, because the surround sound sounds a bit crap.
Yeah. But I can see like the advantages to listening to podcasts on this thing, because like you can actually accelerate the speed.
Yeah,
I can't do that on my. That's actually, now that I think about it, it might actually be the perfect podcast machine.
Because, and the save, I like the save feature when you can go all the way out completely out of the app, and then go right back into it, and it saves exactly where you were listening to it from. So that's awesome.
Yeah, and like you've even got like the progress bar that you can, using the stylus, you can just like, if you want to skip ahead, you can very easily do that. I've heard some people complain that this podcast was way too long and that it was a pain to fast forward through it sometimes. Well, start listening to the podcast on your 3DS. Not gonna have that problem anymore. and activate Street Pass and put the podcast in your Street Pass thing, and go ahead and spread the word.
Wow, you sound totally sold on it now. That's great.
All right.